Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, January 19th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
So, you were having sex with a little fella then?
No, that wasn't me, ma'am. But I am your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
I have a really remarkable show in store for you. Today, I have another installment in my acclaimed series of interviews called The Erotic Mind. Through this series of conversations with noted erotic artists, we are trying to uncover something of the creative process involved in this specialized art form. Today, we have the distinct pleasure of introducing you to a spectacular Seattle artist, photographer, poet, and erotic model, Mina Bast. Be sure to check out Mina's delicious photographs and pastels on her site, thesmittenone.com. And while you're on your site, you'll be able to purchase her newly published Little Deaths, a collection of some of Mina's finest photography and featuring one of her erotic poems.
So where are you girls from?
Like I said, ma'am, we're from Seattle. Today's podcast sponsor is Ropex. Hey guys, are you tired of dribbling when all you want to do is shoot? Do you think you need a bit more spunk in your spooge? Well, I have just the thing for you, Ropex. It was developed in Sweden in the mid-1960s. It's a unique blend of pharmaceutical-grade botanicals designed to improve prostate function, which, of course, is the key to heightened sexual pleasure. But you knew that already, huh? Ropex is the natural way to increase semen volume, so when you bust your nut, you'll have some nice ropey pearl jam spewing out your willy. Here's a tip. Check out my product review page at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Scroll down till you find review number 21. There, you will see that I used Ropex myself. And, like all of my reviews, I give you my unvarnished opinion. So if you're looking for a little help in this jizz production department, visit the Ropex website today. Look for their swell banner on the sidebar of my site. Okay, on with the show.
Welcome, Mina, and thank you for joining us. It's so great to have you with us for this Erotic Mind podcast. And I want to do a big, great big shout out to the good folks at Babeland Seattle who hooked us up. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Babeland, and thank you for letting me serve food on naked people.
Oh, we're going to get to that in a minute, don't you know? Listen, I love your website, thesmittenone.com. I'm particularly enamored by all the beautiful photos that you've done, and you're such a talented lass. You're as pretty as a picture yourself. You ought to be in the movies.
Oh, thank you.
And anyone visiting your site can see that you are not just a pretty face. You're a photographer, an artist, a poetess, an erotic model. Did I leave anything out?
I also do a lot of healing work.
No kidding.
Yeah, based on quantum physics.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I just finished writing my first book.
And the title of your new book is?
It's going to be called The G Word.
The G Word. Is that anything to do with the G spot?
Not exactly. It's more of a spiritual kind of book.
I see. Good, good, good. But you have just published, yes?
I have just self-published a book of my poetry and photography.
Ah, and that is called?
Little Deaths.
Excellent. So, this is your first publication, right? Any web-based publications out there?
I've been featured in a few online magazines and done quite a bit of work for the Seattle Center.
Ah, cool beans. Before we get to discussing erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about you. Is Mina Bast your real name?
It is not the name I was born with, but it is my legal name now.
So, in Many of the people that I've interviewed for this series have created a nom de plume, or nom de smut, as it were, because they're working in the field of erotica and or erotic art, and they just figure that they need to do that to kind of cover their proverbial ass. Is that why you changed your name, or is that...
It's not actually. I mean, I did do it for artistic reasons, but not specifically for the erotic stuff. I plan on using the same name to publish my spiritual writings and stuff like that too.
Very good, very good. Because I personally think that there's a very intimate connection and very healthy connection between spirituality and sexuality.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, most of us in our culture don't believe that. And there's this huge disconnect. You find that too, I assume?
I do, yeah, but, you know, I'm here to help.
Excellent. Excellent. I do a lot of death and dying work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In fact, I wrote a book called The Amateur's Guide to Death and Dying that I'm hoping to have published this year. A serious publisher is looking at it. I wrote it 10 years ago, and because it's so cutting edge, it was difficult to find the right person to publish, but I'll have to keep you posted.
Yeah, definitely.
We can have a book coming out party.
Yes.
Would you give us a little bio of yourself?
Sure. I grew up in Minnesota and worked in Western medicine for several years and moved out to Seattle in 2005 and started shooting lots of burlesque shows and different stuff like that. And
it's a big burlesque center here.
It is, really, yeah.
I love it.
It's great.
I love it. I had the good fortune of meeting Indigo Blue.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's something. She did a live show for us once a long, long time ago, but that's another story altogether. So how did you get your start as an erotic photographer?
You know, honestly, it was kind of by accident. I had a friend that wanted to do some figure modeling, so she wanted to put together a portfolio. So we did some nudes, and then the next people I was going to shoot was a couple, and I thought we were just going to do some nice nudes, and, you know, they ended up getting a little friendly, and it turned really erotic, and then it just kind of went from there.
So it was it wasn't something that you actually... launched into because you wanted to do it? It came to you more than you came to it?
In a sense. I mean, I've always been drawn to that sort of thing, but I didn't intentionally.
What, smut?
Erotic art. just the erotic world in general.
Cool. How did you get your start as an erotic poet?
Inspiration. It just happened.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
I just felt really inspired by someone and started to write, and it turned out pretty erotic.
So is this the poem behind Little Deaths?
Yes.
Your book. Is that your one and only poem, or have you labored as a poet?
I've written quite a few.
I see.
Quite a few. Yeah.
Because no one just like right out of the box creates great poetry. Doesn't seem to me.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, there's people who create great photography and almost with no training whatsoever.
I don't really have much training at all. I
Is
took a
right?
class in high school, but
get out.
Other than that, it's all me.
Yeah. And they didn't show you how to light a nude, no doubt, in high school. I love it. I love it. So the other thing that I find so fascinating about you is that you are also an erotic model, yes?
Yes.
And so tell me about that. Fill me in.
You know, it started online. I just belonged to some online networks and came across a photographer who I thought his work was amazing. And, and I talked to him and we set up a shoot. He works down in Portland, David Rowland. And it just turned out so amazing. I started talking to more and more photographers that I like their work. And here we are. It just happened.
No kidding. So, I mean, you are the first person to be not only master, but muse. And I think that's an amazing thing. Being in front of the camera and behind must give you a sensitivity that other photographers may not necessarily have, would you say?
I definitely think it gives me a big advantage, especially as a model, for sure. Just knowing how I see things through the lens and knowing kind of how to move and
When I was in the day when I was shooting a lot of porn, that was a thing that I noticed most, was that even people who were truly gifted in terms of body and body parts, wink wink, they had no sense of themselves in space. And
right.
They didn't know how to move. They didn't know how to position themselves in front of a camera. And as you probably know, being sexual in front of a camera for pornography is way different than being sexual with a partner in the privacy of your own
right.
space. Because what you aren't really playing to the camera, or you're not playing to the audience, and
right.
that's really essential, it seems to me, in good pornography. Would you say that is true in photography too?
To an extent. I mean, as far as my photography, I only shoot real couples who
yes,
are
right.
actually really you know, just in the moment. So mm-hmm. they're really, most of the time, I just mm-hmm. tell them to ignore me.
Yeah, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do they, then you have to position yourself to capture them as opposed to
yes.
they positioning themselves for the camera. An interesting concept, yes.
Yes, I move around quite a bit.
Yeah. Is it difficult to light that way?
No, I use mostly natural lighting. Mm. Otherwise, I just do sometimes like one handheld light.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not really into all sorts of crazy fancy lighting or
yeah.
anything. Just real simple.
Yeah, but your stuff is beautiful.
Thank you.
And all our people will notice that right away when they visit your site. Do many people in your normal life know of your erotic work?
Yeah, pretty much everyone, except, I don't know, maybe my dad, but he's not on the internet. But my mom is, and she loves it.
Is
you know,
that
she
right?
wants me to shoot her one of these days.
Oh, how wonderful.
When I get out to Minnesota, but...
How wonderful.
But yeah, I'm pretty open about it. It's
good.
Part of who I am,
good.
So...
Good, good, good. Yeah, it seems to me, this is another common thread that I've been discovering in... this series, The Erotic Mind, is that a lot of artists and writers of erotica would really love to meld their two lives, their private life and their professional life, and but find it difficult to do because of the sex negative pressures and the culture.
Yeah.
So it's good. I mean, it's one nice thing about living in a cosmopolitan area. Here in Seattle, as cosmopolitan as this is.
Yes, and it's important for me not to try and hide like a side of who I am, because it's part of who I am.
Right.
And my whole approach to sexuality is really a holistic approach. You know,
right.
it's an important part of our world and our lives. And,
right. Yeah, and I agree that
I
with
didn't
that too.
Hide that.
Yeah, but lots of people do. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I think that the tendency in the culture is to departmentalize that, you know, that sex is over here and
definitely.
And then, but your professional life or your other life, your life with other humans is over here.
Right.
And, which I think, and we just mentioned that about sexuality too, and I just think that it's truly unfortunate because it doesn't have to be that way, I don't think, anyhow. Where do you find your models?
A lot of them are friends. I also have options for clients to sign model releases.
Ah, good.
And sometimes we do a royalty agreement with that.
Excellent.
So I can sell the images of them, and then I
right.
give them a portion of the proceeds.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So people find you. Do you reach out to others? And
I have approached a couple of friends, like the main couples that are up at Babeland right now.
We should just interrupt here a
mine.
Second, and most of our audience wouldn't necessarily know that you have a gallery show going on at Babeland, Seattle. Is that right?
Yes, until the end of February.
Cool beans. So all you local folk, drop by. So I'm sorry I interrupted you. So you you have the show going on at Babeland in Seattle.
Yes.
And so most of the people who are featured in those images are friends of yours, or
yeah,
that
you've most known? Of them are friends. And one of the couples is the girl is a is also a photographer who has shot me in the past.
No
and
kidding.
So we kind of did a little trade that way.
Oh, cool.
Shot her and her partner Liam.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So do you? If somebody went to your site, and would they be able to find like become a model kind of link or something like that?
They would find information about having me shoot them.
Oh, is that right? Good.
And then
okay.
We can discuss.
Good.
As far as I either give people a break to sign a model release, or we do the royalty agreement.
Right. Defining erotic art is difficult, since perceptions of both what is erotic and what is art fluctuate with time and culture. For example, the depiction of a phallus in some cultures is not erotic, but rather a common symbol of potency and fertility. Also, a distinction is often made between erotic art and pornography. Both depict the body, sensuality, sexuality, even lovemaking, but there is a fundamental difference between the two forms of expression. Where does that difference lie for you? Or is there much of a difference between pornography as it's understood in our culture and erotica?
It's all about lighting. No.
No, it's true.
It's true.
And black and white. If you shoot in black and white.
Yes. No, I did a shoot and of this particular couple, and the flash went off on accident, and I saw it later, and I was like, oh my God, it's porn. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely an intention there, and like I said with me, you know, I shoot only real couples.
Yeah.
And
well, real couples could be pornographic, it would seem to me.
Yeah, it's true, but they're genuinely, you know, in the love-making process, or not necessarily making love, but being intimate, and
yes.
I don't know, I don't shoot a lot of graphic stuff,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. That's often, at least from my point of view, where the... the line is, you know, it's for pornography, it seems to me there is a focus on the act, the parts bumping.
Yes.
As opposed to erotica, which seems to be much more encompassing of the human interaction, what's going on in the face and the big picture of the bodies being together.
Right. Although I've seen some amazing shots of parts bumping that I would definitely call art.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah, that's something that's amazing. Do you suppose there's a distinction between the intent of the depiction as well as the message?
I think so, yeah. I think it's partly what you were just saying. You know, in porn there's a lot more focus on the act and the culmination of the act, mm-hmm. whereas in erotic art, it's more about, you know, gods and goddesses, they were always nude.
Yeah.
And there was no shame in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Again, the connection in, you know, ancient cultures between sexuality and spirituality, the divinity was always naked.
Right, absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, of course, you know, you can't possibly put any more veils or whatever on our... spiritual images, our icons. Interesting. Maybe this would be a good place for us to talk about your personal take on erotica. As we've already discovered, there are several plausible definitions floating around out there, but I'd like to get your specific take on it. What does erotic in art mean to you? Is there other stuff besides this, what we have just been talking about, that comes to mind?
I personally see divinity in everyone, so to me I'm capturing this divine expression of eroticism in people through what I do.
I think that's beautiful. I really do. My hat is off to you. I expect that if somebody is looking at your art, as I have done at your photos, I do sense that there is a reverence there.
Absolutely.
About not just the individuals captured, but how they're captured, and you know, truly, it's a love affair. It sounds to me, looks to me, I should say. As an artist, I suspect that you create other art besides the stuff that we might commonly think of as erotic. Am I right in that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I shoot everything.
Uh huh.
I've shot quite a few bands and live performances, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Close-ups of flowers and food and anything, really.
Uh-huh.
Portraits, I love portraits.
Yeah. What is it about the erotic art that compels you to create it?
The response, I think, is a big part of it, not just from others viewing it, but truly from the couples themselves, because they get to see themselves in a way that they maybe never have before.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
to be able to look at pictures of them and their own partner and go, ooh, like, wow, like, that's us. Like,
yeah.
it's just so cool for me. It feels like a gift to be able to give that back to them. I've found it reignites a lot of things for them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But we're going to come to this in a bit, but I just want to mention that your photography is not the only erotic art that you do. You do your pastels as well. Would you call those erotic?
You know, to me they are, simply because I was channeling quite a bit of sexual energy in the making of them, and they did turn out, there are some subtle... some subtle symbolism in there that wasn't even actually intended that you could definitely call sexual.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for me, I was thinking of that this morning. I look at my pastels and I get turned on more than I do when I look at the photos,
right.
because I can feel that feeling that I was feeling when I was channeling that sexual energy into those.
Have you had feedback from other people that about that? I mean, do other people say that resonates in an erotic sort of way? Because it isn't. I mean, it isn't overtly erotic.
Right.
I mean, you're not painting idealized bodies or any of that kind of stuff. But.
No. Yeah, it's always just an impression. But yeah, I've had people mention there's definitely some undertones there.
Yeah.
Certain things look pretty phallic, or other things are either look rather like a flower, if you'd like to call it that.
Well, you know, again,
totally unintentional, but it came through.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in other cultures where they cannot express overt eroticism, they have always had imagery like flowers opening for female sexuality, particularly lotuses and other kind of budding flowers and stuff like that. So we've all been, you know, humans have been very coy about that kind of stuff when they need to be. And yet they are, even in the most repressed societies, people still express themselves erotically. They just have to couch it in a different sort of way. It's easier to see like in written kinds of stuff, because words can have double meanings and but images too, you know, just as you know, you and I were just talking about flowers and whatnot. I think that's fascinating. Do you think erotic artists are wired different than the rest of us mere mortals?
No, not necessarily wired different. I mean, I guess in a way. I mean, there's an openness there. There's the courage to explore that aspect of things, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to say because I've always just been comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
So tell me, how did a sweet girl from the Midwest wind up in such a profession?
I think everyone eventually, hopefully, finds their passion, and I just kept narrowing it down and narrowing it down, and I found it.
And then you knew it when, I mean, it resonated with you. You felt it inside that you were home. You knew where you were, this was it, your niche.
Yep.
Excellent. So there's hope for the rest of us who are still searching.
It's true. There's always hope.
Good. Oh my God, look at the time. Gosh, I have another 2 pages worth of questions. Can I invite you back for next week?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, until then, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
Excellent.
Thanks, Mina.
Thank you.
Hey, fantastic show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for part 2 of my conversation with Mina Bast and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
That's a fountain of conversation, man. That's a geyser. I mean, whoa, Teddy, stand back, man.
Well, we aim to please. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Ropex. I know a lot of you guys get it in your head that the amount of cum you produce and the velocity of your money shot is somehow associated with virility. Well, I don't buy that logic necessarily, but who among us doesn't like a nice puddle of dick wad to play with and admire? Ropex can help you boost the volume of your ejaculate and thus increase your orgasmic contractions. And here's a tip. The makers of this fine product, New Generation Labs, offers a special. Order 2, get 1 free. They also have a convenient auto-billing, auto-shipping option available, which includes an additional 10% discount. This is the ideal solution for those who want a regular supply of their product sent to them without the bother of going online to reorder. Why, you can't beat that with a stick. Check out the Ropex banner in the sidebar. You'll be glad you did. Be sure to look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Hey, and don't forget to subscribe. And while you're there, feel free to leave a comment. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.